Fresh.
Yes!
Have you ever seen a show with fellas on the mic with 1 minute rhymes that don't come out right? Well, tonight, on this very mic, you're about to hear,
we swear, the best star rappers of the year.
So cheerio,
yell,
scream bravo.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah, boy, now I'm gonna have to get up off you, Kev.
Okay.
I'm about to leave you alone about that. You keep coming like
appreciate
that.
Appreciate it, Bill.
You
all
keep
right.
coming like that. Hey, I got to remind y'all one more time. We gave away some tickets last week, and somebody was smart enough to call in and get them. So once again, if you're in the Pittsburgh area and you want to go to the Pittsburgh Zoo, like my man Mike Booth will be going because we're about to pass him on some honorary tickets. All you got to do is call Achieving Greatness Incorporated, 412-628-4856. Compliments of Achieving Greatness Incorporated and the new Pittsburgh Courier, the co-sponsor of Soul Take Champions Live. We don't say enough about the new Pittsburgh Courier, kid, but every week you can find out what this show is doing, who's going to be on, who's coming on, who did this, who did that. It's in the new Pittsburgh Courier, thanks to editor and owner Rod Doss and Stephen Broadish and Rob Taylor. The new Pittsburgh Courier, the oldest black publication in America, brings you everything you need to know in the black community and some every week. So tune into your new Pittsburgh Courier. But if you want these zoo tickets, I got four zoo tickets for you. All you got to do is call 412-628-4856. When the show drops on Wednesday, call me Thursday morning, 412-628-4856. And I got some tickets for you. And Mike, for being a guest on the show, you got two complimentary tickets to the Pittsburgh Zoo. You and your lovely can go enjoy the animals and enjoy. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I love the zoo. One of the best times ever. Just got to take a day and cruise and walk through the zoo. And
you know, Bill bring tickets in here every week. They're normally the pirate tickets that he has a hard time getting rid of. So maybe since they're on a winning streak, you know, he'll be able to get rid of some pirate tickets. You can bring those pirate tickets back in now, Bill. I'm not going, but maybe somebody else will go.
But I ain't done. So let me just tell you this. For all of you within the Western Pennsylvania earshot, for all of you against Allegheny County, but most importantly in the Pittsburgh community, the late, great Armin Gilliam, Armin the Hammer Gilliam, his memorial basketball camp is upcoming. It's the Armin Gilliam Hard Work Basketball Camp coming up August 4th and 5th at the Penn Hills YMCA. You know the Penn Hills YMCA is about to close. End of August, it's done, at least for the immediate time being. But until then, on August 4th and 5th, boys and girls ages 8 to 16.
No time for a rent party or anything, Bill?
Let me stay on focus.
Okay, go ahead, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. Every now and then I wonder about you. You was in the military.
Wow, Bill, I got to educate you. I'll talk to you about rent parties later, man.
Oh, I know all about rent parties. And look, and I know about wish me sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
You know what a wish me sandwich is?
I do.
All right, because now you ain't never been poor, so you may not know what a wish me sandwich
right.
is.
Okay.
Man. Mike, you know what a wish-me sandwich is? Mike don't know what a wish-me sandwich is. Mike's just trying to get along. Man, y'all, Kiki don't know what it's like to have two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat to go with it. Come on, man. What? What about jelly on Ritz crackers?
Sugar and butter.
Oh, you don't know sugar and butter.
Well, what about a ketchup sandwich? Have you ever had a ketchup sandwich?
I've been in the company of one, but I refuse to eat.
I have a cousin that used to love ketchup sandwiches. And she knows who she is as well if she's listening.
So if you're listening to this for your son, daughter, nephews, grandkids, August 4th and 5th, Penn Hills YMCA, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., all day Saturday, all day Sunday, cheapest babysitter in town, boys and girls ages 8 to 16 can learn how to play basketball. We've got a very simple rule, sit-ups, push-ups, and shut up. I'm the coach, you're the kid, do what I tell you to do, and I'll make you a better basketball player than you were when you came in here. And we'll have Myron Brown and B.B. Flannery and all the great players coming to teach your youngins how to be great basketball players. But better than that, we'll teach them how to be great champions, how to develop that championship spirit, how to become leaders in their community, how to learn to respect and love their competition, and how to learn how to give back. All that is a part of the Armin Gilliam Hard Work Basketball Camp. Lunch provided both days, lectures, games, skills, and drills, all that. Call 412-628-4856. Only 100 spots available, so call quick. Coming up Saturday, August 4th and 5th. There you have it. Mike, you had a great run as a player, but you also had a great run as a coach. So update us on your coaching career, and then let's zoom into what Kevin was making reference to about recruiting.
Well, finishing up at West Virginia, I was a graduate assistant, so I was
part of their recruiting class, bringing in a couple of local kids. Like I said, I talked to Kevin earlier. We had Charles Fisher, Aliquippa guy, come down. So, you know, and he had matter of fact, he was a second-round draft pick for the Cincinnati mm-hmm. Bengals. And, you know, he had two plays, and he was finished.
Right.
Yep. So it's, you know, opportunity to just
get
coach.
The money when you can.
We talked about that earlier.
Exactly.
So just, you know, recruiting, getting a chance to, you know, play at my university and also recruit and be a graduate assistant. And then I finished up, came home, and I worked for Duquesne University. I was a coach there at Duquesne University. We won 3 MAC championships, did some local recruiting. And you know, at the time, Duquesne wouldn't give out scholarships. They weren't giving out scholarships. They were just giving out half and half. So had a chance to do that and get a lot of kids to come to Duquesne. Had a couple city kids come down, and they were happy to, you know, have some type of city kids coming in to Duquesne University. And then I got about 5 years, got a little burnt out, and I went and I coached at Gateway. I coached at Gateway with Terry Smith. And right now, you know, speaking of Penn State, he's up there right now as their assistant head coach and their top recruiter. You know, he recruits Western Pennsylvania. He recruits Ohio. So, you know, that's where a lot of kids are going up there. But just recruiting, and it's a all-around year effort as far as recruiting, trying to bring the, you know, the best kids in or someone who can fit into your program. So I give Narduzzi, I give, you know, Franklin, you know, they're starting to get it. And once you get a guy in that you can, you know, mold into your program, and that's what it's all about, getting those guys in and developing them.
So what was your question specifically, Kev, about recruiting?
So from a Pitt football and Pitt basketball standpoint, and we'll start off with football, or we could bring them together if we need to, if it makes sense. But that has been brought up many times, the struggles that Pitt has from a recruitment standpoint, trying to get, and more specifically, I guess, basketball as far as the top tier players, because it's very, you know, very different basketball from football. But from a football standpoint, you know, is it possible with a university that is structured from a football program standpoint, the way Pitt is, to be successful with bringing the best recruits in to play for the University of Pittsburgh, given, again, that they share a stadium that's off campus, and they share with the Steelers, as well as, you know, being an urban campus as well?
Well, for a fact, Kevin, you hit two things: being a campus, being a stadium that's off campus. So, you know, you're a student here at Pitt, and you want to get up and you want to go to, you know, a football game, or you want to go and cheer on your Panthers. So you're going up to top of the hill. Back in the day when, you know, Pitt Stadium was there, and they had that mystique about just going up to that stadium. Now you got to get on a van or get on the bus and drive all the way over to, you know, the North Shore Park and all that. So that can be a deterrent for a lot of recruits who are coming in to see, well, they don't even have an on-campus, you know, stadium. Where y'all play at? Well, we play at Heinz Field, and that's one of the biggest things. Wow, that can be a, you know, a seller, but it also could be a point that I don't want to be involved in this one here.
Yeah,
you know what fixes all that? And those points are relevant and true. And I think it's unfortunate that Pitt doesn't have an on-campus facility. But you know what cures all those ills? Winning.
Mm-hmm.
If you're winning, you'll catch 2 buses and a trolley to the game.
You're right.
If your team is kicking butt, you'll get there, and you'll do whatever it takes. So now, does one negate the other? Does one affect the other? Is one part of the problem and not part of the solution? Who knows? But if they start winning, you build it, they'll come.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's definitely a big factor. But what I'm hearing too, Mike, you're saying that it's based on, you know, how you're selling your assets, basically.
You're selling the university. You're selling, you know, the campus. You're selling what conference you're in. You're selling, you know, of course, like you said earlier, it's an ACC basketball conference. But, you know, it's also known as football conference now. And a lot of guys probably come here and they see, you know, the campus. They say, well, you know, this is a nice campus. But, again, the stadium might be one thing that turns a lot of top guys out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only single man here, so I'm the only one that can offer this. If you want to get some recruits at Pitt, You roll them through Oakland on a hot summer day.
You okay.
You roll. Was it one? I think there's. We used to ride the lights. Seven lights from the museum to the end. You ride them seven lights.
What happens, Bill?
On an August afternoon when it's about 90, and see if you can get the young recruits' attention.
What's the benefit?
Smoking in that, man. Smoking down there. You know what I'm. Listeners.
Forget the South Side. Just go to Oakland.
That's seven lights. You do the seven light trip, and you'll see all you need to see to know if you want to go to Pitt. See, Mike and Kevin can't respond to this, y'all. They got to back up because their wives be hearing this. I'm a single man. I'm telling you, it'd be smoking in Oakland. And I'm just saying, smoking in Oakland. I'm just saying.
You're getting a little bit up in age for all that, man.
I'm old. I ain't dead. I get to work. I see you smiling, Kiki. I'm old. I ain't dead.
All right. So.
Hey, Kev, look, you predicted. You predicted a lot of stuff that didn't come true, but one of the things that you offered is that Tiger Woods would win. And you're a little bit of a golfer, so you can relate. Kev has been saying for 2 months that Tiger Woods would win another major and would go on to win four majors.
Five majors.
To eclipse the Golden Bear. So, man, it was close this time.
Very close.
He had everybody's attention for real, for real. And for those people who keep offering on-air comments that these young guys are not feeling the pressure of Tiger, and these young guys hit it as far as he hits it, and Tiger can't get in their heads. That's nonsense. If Tiger is on the leaderboard and you know he's coming up behind you, you're paying attention to that.
Yeah, I don't think it's nonsense, Bill, and I mentioned this before. These guys are so good. Just think about it. I mean, you really have – three different versions of Tiger. Tiger 1 just tore everything up. Tiger 1 is the guy you're talking about. Tiger 1, version 1, when he took the lead, like he did on Sunday after 10 holes, it would be just totally over. And then you have Tiger 2, version 2, who struggled through all of his injuries, where he just wasn't able to do anything whatsoever. Now we're on Tiger 3, where he's really getting back to not Tiger 1, but where he's going to be strong enough to push through to still have significant wins, in my opinion. So, because Tiger 1 would have never lost this past weekend, that tournament, when he took the lead after the 10th hole on Sunday. On Sunday, when he had his red on. That just didn't happen.
There he comes.
But he's going to win his share. And another thing that would have never happened as well, Francisco Molinaro, who won at -8. When is the last time you've seen somebody play with Tiger and beat him and win the championship?
And admit that he had no fear.
Exactly. So normally the larger galleries and all the attention focus in on the group and Tiger is enough a distraction to make another player fall off his game. Okay, but Francesco Molinaro, he kept it going, and he was the only one during that round on Sunday that didn't make a mistake. Okay, Tiger had two bad holes that just tore him up, and really, I'm not sure how much you two watched the Open, but you know, I'm one of those guys, if Tiger is playing 5 o'clock in the morning,
you're on.
I'm waking up 5 o'clock in the morning. He was playing at 5:21. I forget what day it was. It had to be Friday. So I was up at 5:21 watching Tiger. Okay. So I watched every stroke. And the one stroke he had on Sunday where he started to unravel a little bit, just enough to not have a legitimate chance to win, he actually tried to hit a flop shot, some version of it, over a bunker. And he missed it probably, he was a foot away of actually at least saving par on that hole. And he ended up having a double bogey, and he was never really able to recover. But being a foot away on that hole is really just a microcosm of where he is, you know, from a winning again situation. Now, one of the biggest things this past weekend he accomplished as well, he actually qualified for the World Golf Championship, Breaststone International, that will be played at Firestone Country Club in Akron, because you have to be in the top 50
at of the last tournament.
Well, top 50, period.
Ranked.
In the world. Mm-hmm. And by him finishing sixth, he's within the top 50 now. And a lot of people were pulling for him to get in the top 50 so he could actually play in that particular tournament. And I think he won that tournament, if I'm not mistaken, probably about 13 times. So I would expect for him to be a favorite.
Well, I'll tell you what I liken it to. And you hear all kind of commentary on the national level. It's not so much 50-50. It may be a little bit 60-40. That some national commentators think that he will win another major, but you hear a fair amount of people thinking that he won't. But I will hold court with believing that he does affect people. And I tell you what I liken it to. when Michael left the Bulls and went to the Wizards, people forget or don't realize Michael averaged 20 with the Wizards. Michael wasn't done with the Wizards. So when you're going to Washington to play the Wizards and an older Michael Jordan is there finishing up his career, you ain't not thinking that Michael can't do damage to you. You might be playing and play hard and get by him and score, but you're never not thinking Michael can't come get this. So I think Tiger still has an effect, and I think that the less mistakes he made, and I know nothing about golf, the more fear he's going to inject into other players. Maybe fear overstates it, but a consciousness of other golfers that this is Tiger Woods.
Yeah, these guys, Bill, they're just so good. I don't think that they'll have the fear. I really don't. They're a different group of guys for Tiger 3 versus Tiger 1.
Does it change if Tiger wins? Does that?
No, I don't think so. No. Because when you take a look at the top players in the world, Dustin Johnson, he's the number one player in the world right now. And I always tell Bill this, Mike, every tournament there's probably about 20 guys that could win. So Dustin Johnson could win. Phil Mickelson could still win. Rory McIlroy can win.
None of them were Tiger. None of them bring what Tiger
Jordan
brings.
Jordan Spieth could win. There's just so many excellent golfers that they know if they get hot, like Francisco got hot, that they can win. And it doesn't matter who's behind them or anything else. Now, I'll preference that by saying, Bill, there's one exception. Now, when he does win, if he starts to win by 6 strokes, 8 strokes, 10 strokes, that's a whole different story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The more he wins, the more he perfects his game, the more he invokes that consciousness. But we'll agree to disagree. My contention is he has a cause and effect on me.
Well, one thing, though, from a cause and effect standpoint, ratings. Ratings were through the roof. So I know, you know, all the broadcast companies and tournament committees are very happy to see him back. And just to give you an example, Tiger, you know, this past weekend delivered record numbers for NBC as well as the Golf Channel.
Sure.
They had the best ratings for the Open Championship in 18 years. With a 5.0, if you know what this is, 5.0 overnight rating, which is huge. So I know they're happy to have him back.
And when you see that red shirt coming
on Sundays,
you know what it's like, Mike? Did you see Creed? You saw Creed, right? So we've been through all the Rockies. We've been through all – I got to bring the nostalgia because Kev ain't too cool in the nostalgia. We've been through all the Rockies. Remember in Creed when dude hit him in the ring and he went down, and I told my girl, here come that music. When you hear that music, he's getting up. When you see that red shirt, you're thinking
mentally,
here comes that cat. I'll hold on to that, but look, let's hope. I for history's sake, I hope he wins another, and I agree with you. I hope he eclipses the Golden Bear. I just think it would be humongous to see this cat come back to full stature.
Well, I always say the great ones come back and win. So here locally, Mario Lemieux, right? Left the game for a period of time, came back, won. Muhammad Ali, you know, going through his societal and government issues, left the game or left boxing, came back and won. George Foreman, the same thing. Michael Jordan left the game of basketball to mm-hmm. go play baseball, mm-hmm. came back and won. So that's what I'm banking on. Mm-hmm. The great ones come back to win. Now, from a Tiger standpoint, one of the reasons I wanted him to go back and actually play Firestone Country Club, that's where the World Golf Championship and Bridgestone International Tournament is, and it's August 1st through the 5th. They play the South Course. And I actually played that South Course with a couple partner of mine probably 6 weeks ago. Okay. So I was pulling for him. And believe me, it was very intimidating when I played because I saw Arnold Palmer and Tiger Woods, all of their plaques all over the place from the victories that they had. Now to see him go back and play, I have a feel of how the course plays and, you know, how the green on this hole actually slopes. So it's a big difference when you're very familiar with the course that the pros are playing. So,
quick story, 30-second story. I've had the pleasure of being with Muhammad Ali and meeting Michael Jordan and Connie Hawkins and Will Chamberlain. You know, there's some people that you meet. I met Jim Brown. I met Ali. And they gave me the feeling I'm about to share with you. Just because you've met a lot of athletes. Right. You've known a lot of pro athletes. And more often than not, man to man, you're kind of, okay, cool. But I don't know if you've ever experienced, sometimes a certain pro athlete gives you that jolt. I was out at Quicksilver with Chuck Sanders years ago. Arnold Palmer was playing. Now, I don't know nothing about golf, but I was out there, you know, chumming and humming. Arnold Palmer walked by, and Mike, I'm telling you, I felt a jolt. I felt a jolt, man. I mean, it was amazing. I remember, I was like 5 feet away from him. I remember the feeling of seeing him, seeing his blue eyes up close, and I felt like a wave go through me, man. And certain athletes do that to you. And Arnold Palmer gave me that feeling. I remember seeing all these hundreds and hundreds of people just trying to get a look at this guy, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, look, before we wrap up mm-hmm. on the 10-game, I don't know what it is, my Pittsburgh Pirates are on a serious roll. So before we wrap this up, I just want to ask Mike, involved community-wise, youth-wise, all that kind of stuff, do you want people to get in touch with you? Do you have anything coming up that people need to know about, or do you want to be left alone?
I'm just enjoying summertime, and that's pretty much it.
Nothing new on the horizon.
All right.
Well, look, you know you're going to be welcome back here. That's to be sure. But look, you gave up on the Pirates. You made me give up on the Pirates. I didn't want to give up on the Pirates. I'm back in the saddle with the Pirates. 10-game winning streak, hardest team in baseball. They're averaging 4 home runs a game. What do you got to say now, Kevin Cameron, about the Pittsburgh Pirates and this awesome winning streak they're on?
Well, Kiki, she's been Pirate taking hater. Over as our producer while Trav is out. Can you play that song, How Do You Like Me Now?
Oh.
Yeah, the Pirates are playing ball.
Is that concession coming from Kevin Cameron?
Not at all. No, but I give credit where credit is due.
That's it.
This is a hot baseball team. They're doing everything. They're pitching, starting pitching, bullpen, defense. They're hitting the ball. They're killing teams like 100 runs to 20 over this 12-game span. So you have to give them credit. Now we have to keep in mind that the trade deadline is coming up July 31st. So that's going to say a lot as far as what direction do they want to go in.
Because if they keep winning, the public will demand that they leave this team alone and let them keep winning and don't trade nobody away.
You can't stay the same. No. You have to do a Cleveland Cavaliers move. Mm. Okay? Mm. Now, if they make a Cleveland Cavaliers move, you know, we can talk about the new team.
Well, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about LeBron James in L.A. and getting the Lakers ready for an upcoming season. We'll talk about Pitt football, of course, but Pitt basketball is making some moves, and a new coach down there. All kind of stuff coming to you next week on Soul Take Champions Live. Thanks for joining us. And remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Take. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.